This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. Guy Bailey was the 13th president of the University of Vermont. From 1920 until his death in 1940, he expanded the campus, built several new buildings, and shepherded the school through the Great Depression. For decades, his name has adorned the university library, often called simply the Bailey Howe Library. But Bailey was also a proponent of eugenics, the debunked pseudoscience focused on genetics, which sought to eliminate undesirable genes. In Vermont, that led to the targeted sterilization of mostly poor women, as well as some French Canadians and Native Americans. It's these aspects of Bailey's legacy that students and faculty protested against and led the university's Board of Trustees to vote to remove Bailey's name from the library. Here to tell us how that decision was made is Vice Chair of the Board of Trustees and Chair of the Renaming Advisory Committee, Ron Lumbra. Ron, welcome to Vermont Edition.
Thank you, Jane. It's a pleasure to be with you.
When did the question of removing Guy Bailey's name from the library start to become an issue?
Really started to become an issue last year when we had some student protests that led to a number of requests being made of the administration, and one was to take a look at the Bailey name on the library. And it led the university and administration to take a look at process. We didn't have a process in place at that time to really consider renaming, and a committee was formed to look at how to handle these kinds of requests should they come in. That committee formed and studied carefully the subject. This issue had come up at other universities previously, including a very noteworthy case at Yale, where the Calhoun College was renamed. The principles and process put together at Yale really stood the test of time and turned out to be pretty applicable in other situations. So that committee decided that we should adhere to the Yale process and principles if a request had come in for renaming. Subsequent to that, a renaming request did come in, a petition filed by Professor Jackie Weinstock with about 104 faculty signatures asked us to consider renaming the library. And that took place in April of this year. That allowed us to form then a renaming committee, and that happened in May, to study the subject, and we kicked off at that point.
So you formed in May to study this idea. How did you make sure that the committee itself was made up of people who could make this decision for the well-being of the community and not be sort of just one perspective or another?
Really careful thought went into the committee, and I'll tell you, from my perspective, it was a pleasure and an honor to be part of the committee. It was a tremendously diverse committee, and I say that not just from the perspective of gender and ethnicity, although it was majority female, although there was ample ethnic diversity represented. It was diverse from the perspective of experience set and perspectives. We had alums, we had student representatives, we had individuals who were alums who are involved in academia elsewhere, former trustees, current trustees, and most importantly, a number of members of faculty, in particular history, who really could bring to us in the committee thoughtful consideration of the historical in terms of the renaming request and the perspective and history and how it changed over time.
You mentioned that you used the tools, the sort of reasons for deciding to remove a name or keep a name based on what Yale University had come up with as it was trying to deal with some of these similar questions. So what did you apply to the question of Guy Bailey's name on the library in determining whether or not to remove the name?
There were a couple of factors that really stood out for the committee. One was this notion of, is the principal legacy of the name in question at odds with the mission and values of the university? Whether we like it or not, measured today, Guy Bailey's legacy is one of eugenics. And that is completely antithetical to the university, what we stand for, what we believe in. And so principle number one, the legacy is very much at odds. The second principle that was really influential was the building itself. How important was that building in terms of forming campus community? It is the library. It is in the heart of campus. So it's a critical building, a noteworthy building to form community on the campus. Those two factors were really overriding in terms of the committee thinking about whether or not to recommend renaming. I will say there was also another factor that really mattered to us, and that was taking community input, making sure that we were listening carefully to the community, making sure that we were doing this in an open and transparent way so that perspectives of knowledgeable people, people who cared about the subject but were knowledgeable and could share insight with the committee, were also considered.
Did anybody want to keep Bailey's name on the library?
The overwhelming majority of input from the community wanted to remove the name. There were a couple of pieces of input we received that advocated for keeping the name. Those were largely along the theme of not changing history, not altering the past. And I will say the committee was quite sensitive to that argument. We have a number of faculty members, history professors on the committee who were very careful and deliberate, thinking we don't want to erase the past. That's not what this is about. It's about telling the history and reflecting the story in an accurate, contemporary way. And I think we got that right in terms of keeping that balance.
If this was something, the committee was formed in the spring and the petition was sent in the spring and the student groups activated on this issue were in the spring, why did it take until the fall, the late fall, for this decision to be made?
Jane, it was one of the things the committee struggled with the most. We got the petition, we formed the committee, and really were prepared to take action and work expeditiously. But we ran headlong into the academic calendar. And the academic calendar essentially shuts down upon graduation when students leave. Many faculty leave for the summer or they're doing other projects off campus. We did not want to conduct a process that led to an outcome when no one was around to participate and provide input. And so we intentionally tapped the brake in terms of the process. We started, we asked for input in the community in June. We got some input, not a lot, but some, and then it went quite quiet during the summer. So we did our research. The committee worked to research and study the topic. A special collections from the university was quite helpful to us and looking at the historical record. In August, we went back to the community as students and faculty were returning to ask for input, and that's when the vast majority of input to the committee came. That put us in a position here early in the fall to really study with the benefit of community input the subject and then render our judgment and recommendation.
Ron, my understanding is that the name Bailey is actually physically on the building, not just like a plaque that you can remove, but etched in stone. So practically speaking, how do you remove this?
I had the good fortune of being with University Facility Services the other day looking at the sign to figure out physically how we do it. And it turns out there are some ways that the stone can be adjusted, and the faculty, the Facility Services team is working on that now. I think it can be handled, maybe a little tricky as the weather gets cold, but they're on it and we'll make sure that that sign is changed.
So when? What's the timeline and how much will it cost?
I don't know. I'm not in the middle of that, Jane. I don't know the exact cost or the timeline, but I know I was with that team on campus, and I can assure you they're on the case and getting that sign removed.
So will it now just be Howe Library? We got a note from Bruce who wrote in to our webpage for this and said it commends the university for tackling this issue, but what about David Howe, he says, who had an advocacy of sterilization by the Burlington Free Press. Howe's newspaper openly promoted sterilization, so why not Howe as well?
A couple things. Number one, the petition that we received was all about the Bailey name and the linkage between Bailey as president of the university being on the advisory committee raising money for the eugenics survey was irrefutable. The petition, number one, was not about Howe. Secondly, the name Howe was added to the library much later, disconnected from naming of Bailey. The Howe name was put in the library when there was a building addition project, and his family funded that project, or at least a part of that project, and his name was put on subsequent to Bailey's. So we didn't study Howe's name. There wasn't a eugenics link that we found in the record with Howe, and that's why the Bailey name was removed, but the Howe name remains.
Ron, just 20 seconds left, but are there other buildings, other names that you're looking at now?
We set up a process in order to receive petitions for requests for denaming. We've received no other. There has been some question led by the student group around Perkins, and there's confusion about that building, frankly, because it's named after George Perkins, the father of the individual who was leading the eugenic survey and research on campus, Henry Perkins. So named after a different person, same last name.
Got it. Well, Ron Lumbra is chair of the renaming committee and renaming advisory committee and vice chair of the UVM Board of Trustees. I appreciate you taking the time to explain why the university will be removing the name of Guy Bailey from the Bailey Howe Library. Ron, thanks.
Thank you for having me.